Psalm 97:12, and I'm going to ask you to kind of put your thumb there and open up to the Gospel of John chapter 1 as well. We're going to look at both of these passages this morning. 97:12 and the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, I should say. All right, I trust you found your place. Let's stand together as we share together the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 97:12 says, "Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His holy name." Amen. Now we turn to John. We get a little more information on the command in Psalms. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, okay, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today, to open Your Word and to worship You through the preaching and teaching of Your Word, through gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ. On this, the first day of the week, we call this the Lord's Day, in honor of Your resurrection. Help us, Heavenly Father, to anchor ourselves in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us to anchor ourselves in the reality that everything that exists, You brought it into being. Everything that exists gives evidence of Your reality. It is all good. All good. In Your holy name, we worship You. If for no other reason, we worship Your holy name this morning. Cause our hearts to rejoice in so many things that we have to be thankful for because of You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, reality is that Thanksgiving is coming on Thursday. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like it slipped up on me. I mean, I had to make myself conscious. I had to keep before myself the idea that Thanksgiving is going to be this week. Now, part of that, of course, is because Thanksgiving is coming as just about as early as it can possibly come in the year. And Judy and I were talking about that, and we finished our conversation, but we said something to the effect that maybe next year it might be one day earlier. I can't remember how the calendar works. But that's about as early as Thanksgiving can get, you know. So in light of the fact of this National Day of Thanksgiving, I think it's appropriate for us to look at the day from a Christian perspective. And I think it's important for us to do that. It's appropriate for us to honor and thank the One who has created everything and who has given us everything that we enjoy in life. Now, unfortunately, I don't know how appropriate or how my estimate is, how real my estimate is. But I am at least under the opinion that the majority of our country is going to enjoy the day, but I think that overall it's going to be sort of empty and meaningless and pointless and a futile day of Thanksgiving. You say, how can you say that? Well, I'm not saying that their thankfulness is not going to be very real. I'm not saying that their thankfulness is not going to be sincere. I'm not saying that their thankfulness is less than benign. Or I think they're going to feel a sense of genuine gratitude and appreciation. And I really think that a lot of people will have some emotional value come out of the day of Thanksgiving. Okay? But it's not going to be lasting. And I say that because the majority of our country, I think, is going to have a false concept of Thanksgiving. A false concept of Thanksgiving. See, are you sure about that? I'm going to call a witness to the stand. And the witness I'm going to call to the stand this morning is going to be the nation of Israel. Okay? And here's what the Bible says. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rout. That was given to us in Isaiah by the prophet Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. So Isaiah says, you know what? These people are worshiping me, all right? They're calling my name with their mouths, but their heart is not in it. It's all rout. It's all tradition. So I feel like that a lot of our country today is going to be in the tradition of Thanksgiving, and maybe with their mouths they may acknowledge it, but I'm not so sure that their hearts really understand what Thanksgiving is. Or our country would not be in the mess that it is. That's my evidence. Okay. That is my witness. Here's my bottom line. If you're not thanking the one who is the actual giver, it's not real Thanksgiving. Okay? If you're not actually thanking God who is the giver of all things, it's really not Thanksgiving, even as our country originally designed for it to be. Now, let me pause here and say that you know, we need to be thankful. We're told today that we need to thank people, you know, and for what they do for us and this type of thing. And I'm not opposed to that. We do need to thank people. And the Bible tells us we need to be thankful toward people. There's no doubt about that. Whatsoever. It's a way we respect people when you just thank somebody for opening the door, you know, stuff like that. Paul was thankful for people too. But I want you to notice how Paul's thankfulness for people went further than just thanking somebody for doing something. As a matter of fact, Paul records for us in Philippians, and I've written it down there for you, what Paul said about the Philippian church. He says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, but I rejoiced, and you could put the word thankful there. Paul is being thankful. He's rejoicing, all right. He's rejoicing in the Lord greatly. That now at last you have revived your concern for me. And what he's talking about there is the church at Philippi supplied many of his needs, okay, while he was in prison. And he's rejoicing in the Lord for what they have done for him. So yeah, Paul thanks them for their help, but he recognizes that every good blessing and every good thing that people even do for him ultimately comes from the Lord. He never loses sight of that. Now, I know that what I'm saying is probably not politically correct, and it may sound rather harsh and difficult, and anybody who's involved in the mental health work probably cringe at what I'm saying here. But as a Christian, the Bible is our guide, and the Bible is our authority, and the Bible is our standard, and it defines what true thanksgiving is for us as Christians. Here's reality. Evolution is a lie. Okay? Evolution is a lie, and the truth is that God has created all things. If evolution is true, okay, you don't have anything to be thankful for. If evolution is true, then everything that exists came into existence as an accident, as a mutation, as a chance. So I don't, you know, if evolution is true, you really, how can you be thankful for the fact that you are a mutation? You're a mutant. How can you be thankful for everything that exists, because everything that exists is an accident? And somehow or another, it makes sense to be thankful for those things. It simply is not logical. Now, you're saying people can be thankful without thanking God. Well, they can, but like I told you earlier, it is not genuine thankfulness. It is a tradition. It has no real object. It's kind of laughable on its face. The first principle of thanksgiving, then, is what it says in the book of John, is that God created everything. And nothing that exists, everything that came into existence by His power, by His ability, and by His design. Now, in preparation for the sermon this morning, I read several accounts on several definitions of what it means to be of the word gratitude. Okay, so I decided to land on one definition, and it came from an article in Psychology Today. Okay, because what I read, they all said basically the same thing. Okay, so I'm just going to share with you what this article said about gratitude and its definition. Gratitude is the expression of appreciation for what one has. It is a recognition of value independent of monetary worth, spontaneously generated from within. It is an affirmation of goodness and warmth. The social emotion strengthens relationships, and its roots run deep in evolutionary history. So I already have problems with it, you know. But this is basically what all the definitions say outside of the Bible. And so I'm looking at this definition here, and I run into a problem in the very first sentence, of course, when it says, you know, gratitude is an expression of the appreciation of what one has. And so my mind is immediately, really, I'm saying, okay, now, if you have something, where did you get it? Where did it come from? Where did it emanate from? You have this gratitude, but there's no, you don't know what you have, you don't know where it came from. You have no expression or idea of it. What does that mean? You know, how can you be grateful for all the accidents in your life that you have? Or all the mutations in your life that you have? Because that's what it's saying, it's evolutionary process. Right? And it's nonsensical to me. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That makes sense, because there is a logical understanding for the existence of things. It makes sense. The Bible says, God saw all that He made, and what? Behold, it was what? It was very good. It's very good. Everything that God made was good. That's a long way from being an accident. Okay? If you've got to choose between the two. So, what do you have here? Well, in John, you have a twofold foundation for our thankfulness. First, God made everything. There is someone to thank. There is someone to thank. Just because... It just makes sense to thank someone. Listen to me. When you go into a store, now say you're approaching a store, and someone is standing there at the door, and you're approaching the door, and they open the door for you. Okay? They open the door for you. Do you ignore them? Do you put your head down and just walk in the door? Do you do that? Would you dare do that? If somebody's standing out there, so let's say let me embellish this. It's cold and it's raining and the wind is blowing, and they open the door for you, and you're just going to go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Why, that would be the rudest thing ever in life. Why? I mean, you spontaneously, without even thinking about it, say, thank you. Right? God created the earth. He created everything that exists. And we would ignore, ignore God? I mean, even false religions who have false gods, even they attribute being thankful to their false god for the things that exist, because they know it only makes sense to have somebody to acknowledge somebody who has given them what they have. It's obvious things didn't come into just boom coming into existence. There's a creator God. Real quickly, go to Romans chapter 1. We're just Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to preach here, but I want to show you something that is so essential to what we're talking about this morning. And what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, you know the verse, you know the passage very well. You probably don't have to turn there, you probably have it memorized, but we're going to look at it anyhow. So you go to Romans chapter 1 and you open your Bible to verse 20. Okay, verse 20. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome and he says this: "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, he concludes, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor what? Give thanks." He says, here's the guy who's holding the door open for you on a cold, rainy, blustery day, who has made everything and created everything, and you're not even going to give Him thanks. He says, it just doesn't make sense. How many of you have ever been overwhelmed? I don't know how many of you have been on the ocean shore. I've been on the ocean shore. Every time I've been on an ocean shore, I am just amazed at the vastness of the ocean. I mean, it's like this horizon, and there's no end to the water. And I'm standing on the shore of the ocean, and the waves are rolling in and are crashing on the shoreline. I'm standing there, and I'm seeing the power of the water and the waves and endless ocean. I'm going to tell you what, I'm feeling pretty small. Been up on Colorado? Huh?
Pikes Peak.
We've been there. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. Man, you can see, I don't know how far. It is the vastness and the hugeness of the world that you can see when you're standing up on the mountain is overwhelming to me. It's like, God, this is really big. And I am really small. You ever have those kinds of feelings? You ever looked at the horizon in the west as the sun sets? And the glory and the power and the beauty of the sun begins to set, and there's all kinds of hues of yellow and red and orange, and all of this is taking place, and you're seeing it with your eyes, and you're beholding, and you're saying, this is beautiful. This is awesome. Does your heart ever go, whoa, God, You're so powerful, You're so big, You're so awesome. God intended that. He intends for us to feel that way. He intends for us to feel small. He intends to humble us with creation so that we might spontaneously exalt Him and praise Him and worship Him for what He has created and for what it does to us. Yeah, God said, I did this. This is mine. My power, my splendor, my majesty that you're looking at. I deserve to be thanked for it. I deserve to be worshipped for it. Spontaneously. without reservation. If evolution is true, you have nothing to be thankful for. Because everything you see is an accident. It's an accident. It's a mutation. It just happened. The second thing I would remind you of is this. Not only that God created everything, He created you in His image. He created you in His likeness. He created you from the dust of the ground. And He made you different from every creature that He ever created. You're different. You bear the image and the likeness of God. And because of that, God said, you know what? I'm going to give you the authority to rule and to reign over the earth. Everything that I have commanded, everything that I've commanded to be made over all the earth, all the animals, all the creatures, all the laws of nature, I am going to give you, man, authority over all them things. Bible says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. You ever watched a cow? I watch cows. You know what they do? They eat, they defecate, they urinate, and they have calves. And they look down. 99% of the time, they look at the ground. I don't want to be a cow. There's nothing about a cow. I have been out there in the winter, and it's been sleeting, and they have ice hanging off their hair and off their head, and the wind's blowing. I do not want to be a cow. I don't want to be a lion. I don't want to be a tiger. I don't want to be a roly-poly. I don't want to be a cat. I don't want to be a dog. I don't want to be a giraffe. I don't want to be a fish. I don't want to be a bird. I don't want to be any of those things. I have been created in the image of God. And the Bible says that I have been given dominion. I've been given dominion over this earth. I have dominion over the seas. You know what that means? It means my aunt and uncle can get in a sailboat and they can sail across the ocean. And they did that. They sailed across the ocean because they had dominion over the seas. We eat the fish in the sea because we have dominion over the fish in the sea. We have taken submarines down into the bottom of the sea and seen the ocean floor because we have dominion over the sea. We have dominion over the atmosphere. That means we can get in airplanes and be in a place in a different country in a matter of hours because we have dominion over the atmosphere. We can send rockets into outer space and we can put men on the moon because we have dominion over the atmosphere. We have dominion over the earth. We can plant things and we can grow things because we have dominion over the earth. We have dominion over these bodies because we have science that helps us make things like medication. We are able to have surgeries and improve our health, and we have medicines. I don't want to eat decayed bodies. I don't want to eat bugs. I don't want to eat live fish. I don't want to eat flies. I don't want to eat rats. I want to eat black bottom cake. I want to eat my steak medium rare. I want my potatoes with lots of butter and bacon on them. I want to drink Diet Coke. I don't want any of that other stuff. I want to be made in the image of God. Those are things that I can be thankful for, and I am thankful for those things when I eat them because I have dominion. Second, being created in the image of God means that we can relate to God and to others because God has made us an image. You remember that the Bible tells us that God is a Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit have had relationships with each other from eternity to eternity without, they have no beginning. They have existed together. They are three in one. One God, three personalities. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's incomprehensible. Good. I'm glad. The Trinity of God needs to remain incomprehensible. Do not try to understand the Trinity. Do not try to explain the Trinity. Don't do it. You know why? Because you are a finite, limited human being. And you can't go into the realm of the infinite. The incomprehensibility of the Trinity of God is evidence that we did not create God in our image. He is unlike us. We can't even begin to understand who He is. That's why He is the Trinity. If we could understand the Trinity, we would try to make Him like we are. Man can't make an image of God because God cannot be understood. Period. It's proof that the Bible was not written by man because no man could conceive of the Trinity. Okay? Couldn't do it. It's impossible. It's out of His realm of ability. But what is in the realm of what we understand is that God has always had a relationship with Himself, the Trinity. And when God created us in His image, He made us like Him, and He put in us the ability to have a relationship not only with Him, but with each other. Is it not true that the greatest blessings in life that you have is each other? Is it not true that the greatest blessing in life you have is your relationship with other people that you enjoy being around, that you've created and worked out over the years and built up these relationships, that you enjoy them? Is it not true that the greatest blessing in life you have is your own family when you get together and, as we do on Thanksgiving, celebrate together? Is that not true? That's a blessing of God. Our families are a blessing of God. Thank God for your families. It's what God intended. He intended us to have relationships with each other. It's the greatest source of contentment and the greatest source of comfort in life. God has given you friends that you enjoy. God has given you acquaintances. God has given you the ability to meet somebody that you don't even know and to share the gospel with them, right? We're conscious that other people don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're lost. They're undone. They're going to hell. And God gives us an opportunity to meet somebody who is lost and share with them the truth of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the sins so they might have the hope of eternal life. That's a blessing. And perhaps the greatest blessing of all in our relationships is this. You have the power to love those who hate you. You have the power to love your enemies. You have the power to love those who persecute you. Man, I'm going to tell you what. That's, believe it or not, that's a blessing from God because it's proof of your redemption and your salvation in Jesus Christ that your heart is new, put there by God. Finally, being created in the image of God means this. You get to enjoy His gifts. You get to enjoy His gifts. Anybody here like good music? I like good music. You enjoy music? You enjoy listening to music? Does music encourage you? Sometimes music makes you laugh. There's songs that make you laugh. There's songs that make you happy. There's songs that console you when you're suffering. I love to sing the hymns. The hymns in our services help us to worship God. Don't take that lightly. The Bible says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Music can feed your soul. Good music can feed your heart. Good music can comfort you when you're struggling and hard and life is difficult. It can speak to you and calm your fears. The power of music. God intended that. It's a blessing. Good music's a blessing. Thank God for that. Some people have this incredible ability to draw. I don't. Paint. Sculpture. I don't have any of those abilities. But I enjoy listening to music and I enjoy looking at good art. and sculptures. You know, when you see the image of somebody, say there's a painting of somebody that's in our history, like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, whatever the case may be. When you see those images on paint, on a portrait or on a sculpture, it reminds you, it inspires you about what this country was and what this country used to be, and about the men who set the pace for this country. And it builds patriotism into you. And it builds you up because you're looking at a picture of a great man who's the forefather of our country. Art can do that. Sculptures can do that. There's power in those things. Enjoy those things. God meant for us to enjoy those things and gave people the ability to do those things. We're to enjoy them and thank God for them. Thank God for those things. Some people like to hunt. Some people like to fish. Some people like to hike. Some people like to camp. You know what? Hunting, hiking, and fishing, and all that outdoor activity. Men get away, and they get away, and they see the nature of God, and they see the power of God in nature, and there's a sense in which they're encouraged by what they see. They're out there on the deer stand or whatever they are. They're out there in the nature of God, and they see the power of God, and it causes them to be closer to God. Take a walk. Take a walk in the woods, if nothing else. You don't have to do anything but take a hike. To enjoy what God has made and what God has created. And it brings glory to God when you do that. Something to be thankful for. So simple, but something to be thankful for. You ever thank God for a really good conversation? You get in a conversation with somebody, and you learn something new. Or that conversation encourages you. That conversation motivates you to do something. Enjoy a good conversation with somebody. Say, man, I really enjoyed visiting with you. I really enjoyed talking with you. I really enjoyed sharing ideas with you. This was a wonderful time together. Oh, how it inspired me just to have a conversation with somebody. Thank God for simple conversations that God gives us in life to encourage us. I even touched the tip of the iceberg of human potentiality in the sermon. I haven't even touched the surface. Oh, I could go on and on. I'm not going to do that. So many things that I could point you toward this morning. So much that we have to be thankful for, folks. We celebrate being made in the image of God. But do we not also recognize, my beloved, there's something terribly wrong. There's something awful. War. Men kill men, and they kill women, and they kill children, and they burn them to death, and they celebrate the fact that they were able to do that. Something is wrong. Every night you turn on the news and it's worse than the day before. Children being taken advantage of. Sexually molested. We look at our own government and we see that they're okaying killing babies. They won't tell you the truth, but they're in favor of killing babies all the way to birth. Something is wrong. When you have children who are deciding that they're not the body, not the sex that they were born, and they don't even have to have approval of their parents hardly anymore to go out and have a transition. Something is wrong when men can say they're women and women can say they're men. Something is horribly wrong with all that God made that was so very good in the very beginning. Something is wrong. Bible says it's sin. That we inherently are sinners in our hearts because of the nature that we inherited from Adam. We have a nature that we cannot fix. We cannot change the leper spots, the Bible says. You can't change it. You do not have the ability or the power. A new heart has to come from God. And He who has created everything, who has created us, can give us a new heart. And He does so. He says, when you come through His Son, Jesus Christ, He says, I sent My Son, My beloved Son, into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He said, if you will just repent of this idea that you think you can make everything right, that you can make everything good, that you can correct anything in your life, or that somehow or another you're going to stay, you're going to reach a standard of righteousness that pleases Me, it cannot be done. You are lost without Christ. Without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You understand the ramifications of that. You will not get out. There is no get out free card. This is not like Monopoly where you go around and you get a second chance. No! When you die and you face the judgment of God in whatever condition that is. If you're lost without Christ, you die with the prospect of spending eternity in hell. If you die as a child of God, you're going to go into heaven. Have everlasting life and be with your Father forever and forever and forever. That's something to be thankful for, folks. You see, when you're saved, that is you really learn how to be thankful. It's when you're saved. And then you see everything in light of God. Everything. And all things work together for good, right? For good to those that love the Lord. That's us. Brother R.D. is going to come. He's going to help us with an invitation hymn this morning. As you contemplate God's Spirit moving in your heart and contemplate the truths of God's Word, I trust that you'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving as you meditate upon God in your Thanksgiving service. You don't have to do anything necessarily, official. But you can mention God in your conversations on Thanksgiving Day. God did this for me. God blessed me here. I'm so thankful to God today. It doesn't have to be official. Just in conversation. Thank the Lord. Let's stand together. Introduce that hymn, Brother Artie.
565.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We do thank You. We do praise You. We do lift You up. For Your name is holy. If there's no other reason to be thankful, it is that Your name is holy. You are set apart from every other being, creature, facsimile of a God in men's mind. You alone have existed forever without beginning, and You have no end. You are the great three in one. That glory, the glory of Your name, is enough to make You worthy to be praised without creating anything. Without creating anything. You're still worthy of praise. But You've created us in Your image and likeness. And oh, how we are supposed to spontaneously look at this world and see You in everything. And praise You. Lord, if there's ever an attribute that we all need to improve upon, it truly, truly is gratefulness. Maybe even more than praying for greater faith, we need to pray for being grateful. Seeing You and worshiping You through that gratefulness. Lord, help us to leave this service so desirous of worshiping You through praise and adoration. Open our eyes to what You've done and what You are doing. But now if there's one without Christ, we pray that the greatest gift would be the gift of salvation that they would experience today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.